Psalm 56. Thank God that we can cry out for showers of blessing. We need it. We certainly do. We're thankful for the mercy drops. But may the Lord help us always to have a heart and desire to long for the showers and the showers of spiritual blessing. We're not just talking about more money in the bank account. We're not just talking about more and nicer clothes and more stuff. We're talking about spiritual blessings. Oh, yes, my friends, just a sweet, intense desire for the things of God. Just longing for Him and loving Him and praising Him and seeing answers to prayer and seeing lives change. That's what we long for. Amen. That's what we long for. That's what we live for. And I'm thankful for that old reminder. I don't know who said it, but God's people don't have jobs, and we don't exist to make a living. We exist to make a life. Big difference. We don't just go through this world to see how much we can stock up, but it is how much we can give for the glory of God. Amen, amen. Well, we're going to continue in our study tonight on the clay pot conspiracy. We've gone through several what the book refers to as the wonders. The wonders. Let me just give you a quick review of, and they basically broke up into chapters. And our founding text for this study was in 2 Corinthians 4:7, where it talks about we are earthen vessels. We are certainly clay pots, aren't we? And we all are realizing that more and more as we grow in Christ, that the rest of the verse says that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're learning that, aren't we? That is part of the Christian life. We're constantly learning, Lord, let Your grace shine through my weaknesses. Where I fall short daily, where I'm seeking to grow in grace, let Your light shine. And that's where we are. But the first one, you'll remember, the first wonder was storing treasure in the clay. That treasure is the grace of God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who lives within. Isn't it an awesome thought tonight? Please don't ever let it just be old news and, yeah, we've heard that. But isn't it an awesome thought tonight that your Savior is living in you right now? He is. The Bible declares that Jesus is living in us right now through the Holy Spirit of God. And what a blessing. And when we yield to the Holy Spirit, the life of Christ is being lived out. That's why Paul said, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And so we have to keep that in mind. Even though we are earthen vessels and we're weak, the Lord Jesus is wanting to shine through our lives. And then the second wonder we were looking at was seeing how God and His miraculous power is always making death produce life. And that was, of course, perfectly demonstrated through the gospel. Through the death of Christ, there was life produced. There was eternal life produced through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that is just a great miracle of that God has produced before us. But then we also see that daily. And we studied how that looks in the Christian life many times. That though we experience loss, we suffer loss. We suffer what some would say setbacks or different things, hurts. But God will use those things to produce life. And I believe you can testify that tonight. You have gone through things in your life where God did a deep work and actually produced life from those hardships. And that's the Christian life. We also talked about how letting repentance stoke resilience. Just because we're earthen vessels, and it's an excuse for say, well, that's just the way I am. I'm weak. No, God says, look, as these weaknesses in our lives are being revealed, the beauty of it is God saying, look, I'm going to allow repentance to stoke a resilience in your life, not to give up, to let that change that is taking place in our life continue to take place. And there's it's interesting in Scripture, you have salvation of the soul, that is, saved from our sin, is a one-time event, right? I hope we all agree to that. That's basic doctrine. When we get saved, truly born again, that one-time event secures our soul in the hands of God. We are His forever. We are in Christ. But there's also a second aspect and third aspect of salvation that is a part of our foundation, our salvation. And that is daily we're being saved from ourself, the flesh, the world. God is leading us through this cursed world, and where there's sin and vileness and wickedness and hatred and just that philosophy. God is leading us through that and bringing deliverance daily to that. That has to take place daily, right? And then that third and final, which we consider this one, glorification. The second one was sanctification. The first one is salvation. But that third and glorious one is when we get to heaven, and then we're totally saved from the presence of sin forever. We're delivered from the cesspool of sin that is deep into this world. Right now, God's got us here to be a light, to make an impact, to make a difference. But one day we will be completely delivered. And thank God for that. We have many of our loved ones that are already there. Many of our loved ones have passed on and are just up there celebrating with the Savior. We haven't got there yet, but we'll be there one day. And Lord willing, if Jesus tarries his coming, well, there'll be other generations that will come through this local church. And we'll just see God's glory continue to press on. But we are earthen vessels. God is working in our lives. And then not only do we see how repentance stokes resilience as we respond to the Holy Spirit working in our life, but the last study we looked at is how learning love when the church wounds you. And we're thinking, wow, is that even okay to talk about? Well, it better be okay to talk about, because it's a reality. You will get hurt at some point or another in a church setting. Why? Because churches are filled with people. And we're called sinners, and we're earthen vessels that still fall short, and we can easily offend each other. We can easily disappoint one another. We can easily not meet each other's expectations, and we have to learn to love through those things, and God will grow us in that. It's a wonder of how can clay pots work together and love each other and grow together in that love. It's because of the treasure within. It's the treasure within. It's the Christ in me that makes all the difference. It's not Brinson Jennings that's going to make a difference. It's going to be the Christ in me that I rely upon and that I yield to. And that is the one that's going to make the difference. But it happens. And we work through those, and we study that, how that looks practically through forgiveness and kindness and forbearance and talking, working through those things, just like a family does. It's a beautiful design of God. But then tonight, it's interesting how this particular chapter and subject fell on tonight. I think it's a timely one. Just different things going on in the world, and even some things I've experienced recently. But it's just interesting to look at this aspect of truth. And that's where I had you turn in Psalm 56. I want you to notice there with me just for a few moments. I don't know how far we'll get tonight, but let's try to look at this together. Psalm 56, verses 1 and 2. The psalmist, here King David, who is in battle with the Philistines, and not only that, but he's got Saul pursuing him. And he says unto the Lord, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He, fighting daily, oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O thou most high." this wonder tonight that we're going to look at, wonder number five, is this as we journey through this life in clay pots. And that is this: remember, God uses enemies to enlarge our soul. God uses enemies to enlarge our soul. David is obviously crying out to God because his enemies were after him. They wanted him destroyed. They wanted him to suffer. And he was seeking to do the right thing for the glory of God. He didn't always do the right thing, but he obviously, when he did the right thing, he was a target of the enemy. Now, when you became a Christian, perhaps you're like me, if we're all honest, we didn't really understand this concept of how God would use enemies in our life to grow us. That's not something you exactly sign up for. Can I get a witness? Okay. But God has chosen enemies to help us grow in our Christian lives. Sometimes it seems theoretical, but if you've lived long enough as a Christian, you've realized there are enemies of the gospel. There are enemies of the Christ life. In fact, Jesus has told us, now I'm speaking in the context when you're seeking to walk with the Lord. Jesus has told us when you walk with the Lord and you are persecuted for it, he says to his disciples, it's not you they hate, it's me. It's Jesus that the world hates. And he says that is going to happen. But I'm going to use it, as God is sovereign and he is good and he uses all things. But we do need to remember that we are enlisted as we become Christians to be soldiers. Do you realize that you're a soldier tonight? If you realize you're a soldier, would you just raise your hand? It's all of us. We are all soldiers tonight. What do soldiers do? They obey. They fight. What else? They protect. Very good. Sacrifice. Very good. Anything else come to mind? We think of soldiers. Put others before themselves. And as we navigate, and you could come up with others tonight, we realize that Lord has, He has ordained us to be His soldiers. Well, because of that, we have an enemy. And who's prowling around, he's seeking about, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, seeking whom he might devour. Now, before I get further into this, let's be clear on this. Satan is limited. God has him on a short chain, and he can only do so much that God allows him to do. Sometimes as Christians, and I'll be the first one to admit, sometimes in my thinking, I think that Satan is perhaps got a foot on my neck with me down on the ground, and that he's actually the one that's in control. But we have to remind ourselves that, as we studied on Sunday morning, we cannot go off of what we see, what we feel, and what our emotions are telling us when it comes to spiritual warfare. It's strictly through the eyes of faith. It is faith in the Word of God that we look to. Tonight, when I come to this service, I'm thinking of the power of the Word of God, how it's going to affect you this evening. I don't see it. All I see is beautiful people with smiling faces with nice clothes on and that I'm really glad to see. That's what I see. But I tell you what I don't see, but I believe it's happening. I believe I see the Holy Spirit of God taking the Word of God, using it in your hearts tonight. And He's using it in mine. And that's faith. I believe that because God has declared it. And there's a lot of things we don't see, but we trust God who is working. But I say all that to say this. We are not victims of Satan's attacks. Don't ever see yourself as a victim of Satan's attack, because we can easily say that we are. But this is what we got to say. We are victors in Christ. Because if you see yourself as a victim of Satan, this is what happens. we see ourselves as, well, God lost control of that one. He let Satan, the chain got too long. Satan broke the chain or added to it. He was able to do more. No, whatever has happened in my life, whether it was caused by me or because of some other sinful situation, Satan has only been able to do what God has allowed. Now, he still has the power. We know that. But this is what we have to do in our mindsets. Let's also see this enemy as very real. He is a danger. That's why we have to be vigilant. The lions are lurking. But at the same time, I don't need to think for a moment that Satan is just hovering over me, ready to eat me up every day of my life. I tell you what I have more of a hard time. We studied that in one of the other chapters, is that my worst enemy is the flesh within me, that old nature. He wakes up with me every day, you know. But Satan and his demons do use the flesh. They use our flesh against us, and Satan uses the world system to oppress us. He uses other people, especially unbelievers, but sometimes he can even use believers. And that's why we have to be ready and always seeking to be filled with the Spirit. And so I want to remind you of a truth that's found in 2 Corinthians 2:14. As we understand the enemy is lurking and seeking to hurt, it's one of my favorite verses. And I think we all should just commit it to our hearts. But it says this. You ought to write this down in your notes tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says this. Now thanks be unto God, which... Is anybody looking at that verse right now that could say that next word? Always. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to what? Triumph in Christ. What a promise! What a promise of God as we understand that our position in Christ, even when the enemy's fiery darts are just coming at us in full effect, we know that we can be victorious and are victorious in Christ. So tonight, as I begin talking about this wonder, how does God shape us when we're under attack? It's a familiar question that needs to be regarded and as an important one. If you're like me, and this is where we're just honest, right? When you're not going through it, or you're not on the end of being attacked at the time, it seems like I have the answers. If I'm working with someone saying, well, listen, you know, God's good, and you know the Word of God is sufficient. You know, Christ is with you. You know, Satan is defeated. We can say those things, but then when we get on the other side of it, it's like sometimes it's like, oh, what do I do? It's normal. You know, we use that the idea of God's sovereignty, which is true, and we throw in maybe the promises of God, which are anchors, and we talk about faith, and we talk about how it's all can be mixed together in God's goodness, and we can feed it to others. But boy, it seems to change when we're under the attack. And we need to be ready to know that how does grace meet a believer when our enemies cause a deep suffering, a soul suffering? And that the words sometimes don't stick when we're hearing it, but we need to let the Lord grow us in this. Because here's one thing I'm going to tell you tonight. It's not about applying a formula. Formulas are good, I guess, if you're, you know, in science and and different things like that, and ingredient, you got to have the right formula for cooking and whatever thing. But listen, when it comes to knowing exactly what to do in every situation, you don't have these spelled out details that God just hands us and says, this is. No, it's not that way. They are spiritually discerned. We take the truths of God's Word that are basic truths, that are foundational truths, and they guide our hearts through these attacks. They're foundational. It's not a formula. God's doing a work. He is growing you through the attacks of the enemy. I know it doesn't seem like it. I know it seems like you're failing maybe. I know it seems like there's no way out. But I want to assure you tonight, God is enlarging your soul. When I say your soul, I mean that real you. That who is in you, your being. Not your shell, but you. You are growing tonight when the enemy attacks because of God's love and grace. There's a great resilience that's needed. And I believe the psalmist, as we see here, cried out, said, I feel like I'm being swallowed up. That word can also mean the idea of being trampled or just to the point of death. And it's just basically like, oh man, is this the end? But here's something that's very interesting. God will use our enemies to uncover idols in our life. Maybe some things that we were kind of just gravitating toward or clinging to for our, basically to be satisfied in life or to look as something that keeps me happy. God will even use enemies to reveal the insecurities and the fears in our life that sometimes we didn't even realize were there. It's like, wow, I didn't realize that was that deep of a need in my life. And God can use that. And it's hard to discern when you're in the middle of it, is it not? But let's talk about this. Who are our enemies? Well, we know the enemy is Satan, and the ultimate enemy, but in the demons, and we know the world, the philosophy, the thinking, and the flesh. But who is it specifically? Well, it can be anybody, I believe, that is being used to discourage God's people. So what do you do? Well, the scripture talks about how we are to be kind to our enemies. Even in Luke chapter 6, verse 35, there is a tendency to pray for them that despitefully use us. There's also do good unto them that wish harm upon us and to forgive. There is that aspect, and God is going to use enemies to enlarge our soul. Now, let me just be clear on this, because I always like to make it clear. When it comes to loving enemies, it doesn't mean that we have to not use common sense when it comes to that. All right? Because there are some people that may wish harm upon you, and you have to use good judgment. Listen, the providential protection of God does not exempt the need to use human reasoning. God gave us human reasoning. He gave us the ability to be cautious in certain areas of our life when we sense there's danger. Okay? That is part of God's plan too. So it's not that idea that, oh well, I just will be kind to them and be close to them and not even, no, there's a need to be wise. And God is going to help us though to realize that it is He that we need. But not only in people, but sometimes even in the spirit of this world, the depression and the lies and even sometimes the things of this life that come into our life, even sometimes in the area of sickness, can seem to just be an enemy that's seeking to get us down. But Satan will use anything he can. And I believe that we have to be always on guard. But can I make this statement and make it clear that really spoke to my heart? The Spirit of God will not let enemies destroy our faith. When we yield to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will not let enemies destroy our faith. Did Satan destroy the faith of Job? No, Job showed his humanity throughout that ordeal and that testing and that trial, but it did not destroy his faith. And I want to encourage you tonight that even when the enemy comes, the Spirit of God will not allow your faith to be destroyed. It certainly will be tested, no doubt about it, but it will not be destroyed if we yield to Him and allowing God to enlarge our soul, our growing in the Lord. And He will help us and show us these things. Well, I'm wondering if I should stop right here. But You know, one of the illustrations that was used when it comes to seeing how the enemies in our life can actually enlarge our soul was like going into the laboratory. You remember those times you went into class there in middle school or high school, and it's the time to dissect that frog. I remember that. And you go in there, you get your gloves and you get your goggles, or they have you prick yourself. So the blood you put under the microscope and look at it and different things. They're getting into the lab. Well, as we look at Psalm 56, I almost feel like we're going into the lab of David's heart. And we're getting to see that he's just like us, that there are times in our life where we cry out, "Oh God, be merciful." The enemy, it seems to be lurking very close by. And David always sensed this. And when we are attacked, we need to ask ourselves, how does God answer our prayers? How has He answered your prayers in the past? And sometimes we face events like David was facing with Saul, very close to him. Of course, David had married his daughter. He'd given it, and Saul had given his daughter to David. But sometimes it's an opposition of a family member who misunderstood and judged your motivations. Maybe it's someone you've never met, but it just seems sometimes those things that come are just for just an attack on our being. But God will use that to enlarge us. And so as we see here in responding, we need to understand if we trust God, it's a good thing. Don't be afraid to say tonight that, hey, if I asked you a question, how many in the past week or in the past month say, man, you were attacked by the enemy and you trusted the Lord and God gave you victory through that season of attack? Hey, that's good. There's no humility in not testifying when God has given you some victory, okay? Just remember that when God gives you victory. But then some of you, and we all can relate this at some, saying, hey, I didn't do so well. I got so down on myself and just discouraged and kind of delusional and gave up. I want you to tell you, you're in good company because everybody in this room has experienced that. But there is a time where we realize, okay, that didn't go well. How can I do better on the next one? Lord, how can I grow through this? And that's what we will see in this. And then this is what I'll close with. One of the first stanzas that you see, and I think there are seven stanzas that we will look at in this Psalm 56, is this is the first one, and it's this. When it comes to our enemies enlarging our soul, when we cry out to God, we need to be ready and willing to tell God how we really feel. Lord, I feel like I'm being swallowed up. Lord, I feel like I'm being trampled. I feel like there's not going to be no end in sight. The psalmist is being honest. And he's telling the Lord how he really feels. And, you know, again, when you got saved, and everybody got saved at different times, but I doubt that when you got saved in your discipleship material, and maybe we should put this in discipleship material, but I doubt that you took a class on being swallowed up training. Yes, we are offering a class, starting next Sunday. It's called Being Swallowed Up Training. No, we don't offer that. They didn't even offer it in Bible college. I don't remember being in a class where, all right, fellas, let me tell you, when you get out there and you're starting to serve the Lord, there's going to be a time where you're going to be swallowed up. You're going to feel swallowed up. And you could say that about every Christian. No, we don't normally take that, but I want to tell you, it is a part of the Christian life. God's growing you and He's growing me. And it's a beautiful thing when we follow His path, do what He's telling us to do, and truly seeing the grace of God shine through these earthen vessels. David prayed and told God exactly how he was feeling. And that's a good place for us to start. And so tonight, let's go to the Lord and say, Lord, this is where I'm at. Maybe you're not in a season right now of fierce attack. Okay, that's good. Praise the Lord for this time. But if there is any slight oppression upon your life right now, you just be honest about it to the Lord. And God will hear your cry. He will help us through it. So we got some other stanzas to look at, but that was the first one tonight. Telling God how we truly feel. And telling God that we look to Him, because that's what David did. He said, "Oh God." And I love the last statement of verse 2. He said, "There are many that fight against me." But then he says, "O Thou Most High." Tonight, as we go to prayer, we begin and close with, "O Thou Most High." Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You.